He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show on this Wednesday, September 22nd. You're listening to Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, Gunderson Capital Management. Well, I hope you didn't sell and go away on Monday. I told you things would blow over. This wasn't the big one, and we're having another rally day in the market. Second day in a row. We're almost, not quite, back to where we were before all of this Evergrande began. The Dow up 361. Look at that. That's a 1% jump. I'm seeing a huge move today in the reflation stocks. Well, the basic material stocks, to be even more specific than that. I guess China's economy is not falling apart. The funeral, the eulogy was written too soon for the Chinese economy. The NASDAQ up 90 right now. It's at 14,838. It kind of started off slow over there at the NASDAQ, but it's starting to pick up some steam now. S&P up 37 points right now, 4,391, you know, about 60, 70 points away from its all-time high once again. Russell 2000 up 1%, up 23 points. Crude oil up $1.35. Everybody happy so far. 71.84 up. The gold bugs down $3 per ounce. 17.75. Silver up 15 cents. 22.76. The bond market pretty quiet today. No big flight to safety there. 1.33% on the 10-year. Now I see some frowns out there. Bitcoin investors, they're down $565 per coin to $42,436. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, if you followed me on Monday throughout the day and yesterday throughout the day, you know, we had quite a spill in the market on Monday with the Dow down over 600 points. It was down almost 1,000 at one point in time. I think maybe 935, 950, somewhere in there. It wasn't pretty. And there was some big ugly spills that took place on Monday with the Evergrande situation, one of China's biggest lenders, comparable to the former company known as Lehman Brothers here in the U.S. that went down in 2008-2009. And there were a lot of comparisons being made at that time to the Evergrande situation. Could it be another Lehman situation and bring the financial sector down in China? Well, I said at that time, I don't think it is, and many others said the same thing. And yet others said, oh, yeah, this is the beginning of the end of this 20-year or 12-year bull market that's been in place pretty much since 2009, a few hiccups along the way. And now it appears that, you know, this too will pass. All things must pass. This too will pass. And we had a nice rebound day, not so much in the Dow yesterday. It was down another 50. The S&P was down another 4. But the NASDAQ had a pretty good rebound yesterday. The tech stocks, the software sector, cybersecurity, computer software enterprise, semiconductors to some extent, they were on the mend yesterday. And now today you've got an explosion higher in the Dow. Now it's up 338, an explosion higher in the S&P 500, up almost 40 points. And the NASDAQ starting to kick in. It's now up 93 points. So things stabilizing. Just in my early look at the market here this morning, I noticed the big move happening in the copper, steel, iron ore, the basic materials stocks, at least so far today. Well, yesterday, you know, it was choppy. I don't know what today will bring, but yesterday we were down, then we were up, then we were down, then we were up. There were some pretty wild swings in the market. The VIX, which measures volatility, has definitely heated up a little. The 10-year Treasury, basically not reacting too much to all the noise in the equity sector. And, you know, yesterday I would say the stars of the day were the tech sector, the tech stocks, Apple, some others, Salesforce, and a few others like that. A lot of the software, computer software, enterprise stocks, Datadog, things like that. The big losers yesterday were once again the industrials that do a lot of business in China, Deere, Caterpillar, Cummins Engines, etc. Disney had a bad day as streaming growth seems to be slowing for them, their subscriptions. Alcoa had a bad day. Copper had a bad day. The green energy, solar stocks in particular, had a bad day. Now, that's all kind of turning around here today. And what's the news? Well, Evergrande is going to make their Thursday bond payment. Okay, that's a big sigh of relief going through Wall Street today. Bloomberg reports that Hengda Real Estate, the main unit of troubled Chinese property developer Evergrande, will make its Thursday bond coupon payment. Now, this doesn't mean that Evergrande is out of the woods. They are going to need a big, hefty restructuring, but at least a big disorderly unwind like we had in the financial crisis here in the U.S. in 2008-2009, which created a lot of shotgun weddings, you know, between Bank of America and Merrill Lynch and some others, you know, that they tried to find rescuers for, so they wouldn't go under back during that crisis, which, you know, the S&P, remember, when all was said and done, lost 53% of its value during that financial crisis. And it was a lot of the value stocks, especially in the financial sector, that the value investors had been loading up on, the Bear Stearns, the Lehman Brothers of the world. They thought those stocks looked cheap. I remember Jim Cramer saying, boy, you got to be buying Bear Stearns at this level. Well, you know what? They were troubled. Underneath those low PEs, which many times is the case, there was trouble. The trouble was in their balance sheets. Those loans that they had on the books that they had lent the money out, they had some very troubled loans out there. In their balance sheet. And that came to pass as many of those loans were sold for pennies on the dollar. And, we had to have the big TARP bailout at that time. Well, the good news is it doesn't look yet like that's going to happen to China. And at least the first bond payment. Now, back during the financial crisis, those bond payments pretty much went bye-bye. And a lot of those bonds went bye-bye during that period of time. Well, we've got China back open, and it's pretty steady. I don't see much happening there. And let's just check in on the FXI real quickly. FXI is actually rebounding nicely. Now, it's still in a horrible downtrend since February, but FXI, which is the China Large Cap ETF, which tracks the China 50 Index, it's up 2.7% today. Europe had a pretty good session. London up 1.1. Frankfurt, Paris, all up about 1%. And so far, that's about what we're up here in the U.S. Now, let's put Evergrande on the back burner for now. And let's bring Chairman Powell and the Fed to the front burner because they will be speaking today. The decision, however, could be a dud for a market that's been hyping up big macro events recently. We'll see what Chairman Powell has to say about taper talk and keeping rate forecasts steady. it could just be a big ho-hum event, but you know, it usually isn't. There's usually more to the story, but yeah, you got to believe that the Fed, seeing the weakness here recently in the U.S. economy and in the problems with China, which there's no way that's not going to infect and slow down the global economy. It's hard to imagine the Fed doing much in the way of becoming more hawkish today. We'll see. You never know, but I would highly doubt. It seems to me like it could be a Fed meeting that really is just kind of a yawner. All right, well, when we come back, well, there's a lot of macro events taking place, and Morgan Stanley out with a big call on what they see happening to the market between now and the end of the year. I always like to see what others think, and then I always weigh in on my opinion, which I'm never without. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, we'll see what the Fed has to say today. We've already got the news on Evergrande. They will make their bond payment this week. The market loves it. We'll get an update to the dot plot. I can hardly wait to see that dot plot come out from the Fed. Anxiously await that every Fed meeting. Biden says U.S. will double financial commitment to fight climate change. He said that at the U.N. yesterday. With all the things that China is up to, he seems to be more concerned about their commitment to climate change, fighting climate change, than some of the other things going on in China these days, which, you know, really, again, that's a big surprise, the big turn. I guess it shouldn't be a surprise. But I guess we had hoped that China's kind of shift towards capitalism would have continued. But it's taken an ugly, ugly turn back towards socialism. And that's got to disrupt markets. It's got to disrupt markets and global growth. Russia should boost Europe's gas supply to ease the crisis. Well, we'll see how that works out for Europe. Okay, they turned to Russia to supply their natural gas. That was a big, big fight over that pipeline, bringing natural gas to Europe so they don't freeze in the wintertime. Now you've got Gazprom kind of in charge of the spigot. We'll see what happens there. We'll see if Russia lives up to its promises made. Now here's Morgan Stanley. Okay, everybody's got a different opinion, a macro opinion on the market. And I bring them to you, you know, maybe one or two a week. We see Morgan Stanley, pretty outspoken here, eyes a correction with the S&P 500 falling as much as 20%. You know, I don't know how you predict a correction until you're in it. But they say large cap stocks are in a mid-cycle transition with two potential downward paths, fire and ice. That's what Morgan Stanley strategists say. Many commentators and clients continue to point to the S&P 500 near all-time highs as a leading indicator and rationale for even higher prices ahead, says chief equity strategist Michael Wilson. However, in our view, the relative strength of the S&P 500, okay, now he's talking my language, relative strength, and the NASDAQ 100, further confirmation that the market understands the mid-cycle transition narrative and has bought into it hook, line, and sinker. In other words, the relative strength on the SPY, S&P 500, and the NASDAQ remain good. He says it's a sucker bet, however. The retail investor has fallen for it hook, line, and sinker. The question is whether the mid-cycle transition will end with the correction in this index, as it typically does, or whether it's different this time. Well, Morgan Stanley has a target price on the S&P 500 that is 10% below current levels. And they believe between now and the end of the year, there will be a rolling correction finally hitting the S&P 500. Well, I would say this. We've already seen many rolling corrections this year in the market. We saw the biggest rolling correction of all happened in February and March when the high-tech, really high-tech, high-growth, speculative, that upper point of the pyramid, you know, of the tech sector, down at the base of the pyramid, you've got the big stocks, the Googles, the Apples, the Amazons. They didn't get taken to the cleaners. They did have a correction in February and March. But those LIDAR stocks, those autonomous stocks, those electric vehicle stocks, which were so hot last year, thinking they would rule the world forever, they got creamed back in February and March. That was a massive rolling correction. We've seen a massive rolling correction in the foreign, the emerging markets, more specifically China. Alibaba and JD.com and those stocks. Then we saw a big rolling correction here recently in the reflation stocks, the basic materials, the industrials. All you got to do is look at a chart of Caterpillar, C-A-T, or Deer, D-E, and you can see that rolling correction, which has come through the market. You know, the few sectors left standing that have not had a rolling correction, I would say maybe the healthcare stocks, much of the medical sector, that's remained very strong, and also parts of the finance or the parts of the technology sector. But suffice it to say that Morgan Stanley, the ICE, they say the inevitable deceleration in growth will be much worse when that stimulus starts to end, and they believe that that will lead to a drop of 20% or more at some point in the future. Okay, well, that's Morgan Stanley. And I would just say that I don't think you can make a blanket call. Of course, they're calling it for the S&P 500, okay? They're being specific. They're saying the S&P 500, they see a 10 to 20% correction out there. So what are you supposed to do? Sit on the sideline and wait for that correction to take place? And when it's down 20%, come back in? I don't know. I just think you have to kind of look for the areas of the market that are still working. And there are plenty, actually. But to just sit on the sidelines and miss the areas that are working doesn't make much sense to me. Okay, the big Alzheimer's stock that everybody is watching these days is Cassava. S-A-V-A is the symbol. Well, it was up. Now I see yesterday it had a big day. It was up 21% on top-line data from Simufilam. That is their Alzheimer's drug. And that does seem to be, I mean, there are several companies that seem to be making progress. Cassava may be the leader in it so far. You had the controversial drug from Biogen, which doesn't seem to be all that great of a drug. The stock has certainly not shown that. Cassava seems to be showing some promise here. They're advancing Simufilam into the Phase 3 clinical program in Alzheimer's disease with the study initiation on track for Q4 2021, which we will be in about 9 days. So anyways, you know, we continue to hope for progress in the Alzheimer area, and there seems to be a lot of progress being made. Boy, Disney stock got hammered yesterday. Disney CEO says Disney subscriber growth to slow in the current quarter. And I've seen other streaming companies. Charter Communications has had a little sell-off here the last few weeks. Netflix has had a little bit of a sell-off. But Disney's a member of the Dow, and it had a pretty big sell-off yesterday. I currently do not own Disney. It's a very neutral stock in the Gunderson Best Stocks Now ranking system. Okay, when we come back. Back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. It's Dow up 361 right now. That's 1.1%. Crude oil's up $1.04 right now. The 10-year is basically flat at 1.32%. The S&P's up 39. That's 0.9%. NASDAQ now up 108. That's 0.75%. Just looking at some individual charts here during the break, there's some really good action in the oil patch, the oil and gas stocks, Apache, BP, Chevron, Devon Energy, all the usual suspects. It looks like the chip stocks doing okay. Broadcom looked pretty good. The fertilizer stocks, the CF Industries, Nutrien, some of the travel stocks, Booking.com. Adobe not having a very good day. That's a big tech stock in the the NASDAQ. They reported earnings. Biogen not having a good day. That's the Alzheimer drug stock and biotech stock. Dollar Tree is weak. So that's just kind of where some of the action is right now and where some of the action is not. Okay, we got to always speak about crypto. That comes up. You know, Gary Gensler, the SEC chairman, he's not a fan, really. He says that he actually taught a class on cryptocurrency at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. But he doesn't see much long-term viability for 5,000 or 6,000 private forms of money. Did you know there were that many? The Wall Street Journal reports. He said that in a virtual event at the Washington Post. In the meantime, he says, I think it's worthwhile to have an investor protection regime placed around this, meaning more regulation coming for crypto. And he relates the thousands of cryptos in existence with the wildcat banking era that took place in the U.S. from 1837 until 1863. Well, that's when banks were issuing their own currencies. And, of course, a lot of those currencies, all of them, I guess, became worthless paper. And he says this time right now with these stable coins and crypto reminds him of that time period. He also has said recently that crypto is a speculative asset class that needs more regulation. Well, I think there's going to be a lot of weeding out along the way. And, we'll just see. The Grayscale Bitcoin Trust has not been doing well, GBTC. Bitcoin has not been doing well. It seemingly has resistance at about 50,000 and support at about 40,000, trading in a very wide range between those two. It had a very, very bad day on Monday. Of course, everything else did too. But it looks to me like there's going to be a pretty big shakeout. Thousands of cryptos out there. And we'll see who the few left standing. One would think Ethereum and Bitcoin are the best position to survive. In the meantime, Coinbase is going to step forward with their own recommendations on how to regulate the cryptos. I was looking at Coinbase stock. It's kind of the biggest proxy stock for the cryptos. That thing went public. You know, they have the platform, the biggest platform, I suppose, in order to invest and buy and sell and trade and all this and that with the Bitcoin and the other cryptos. On its day it went public, it got as high, Coinbase did, as high as, $500 per share. It's lost half its value since then. It's currently trading at $241 per share. It's a $51 billion market cap company. Coinbase, C-O-I-N. I guess it's the blue chip of crypto. Their sales are booming, and it's actually a profitable company right now. But the stock, very weak, I would say. It doesn't have a relative strength ranking yet from Investors Business Daily. And I don't have momentum grade or an overall grade. I can just look at the chart and tell you that there's not much happening there that's exciting. Anyways, they're going to weigh in on how they think crypto should be regulated. In the meantime, you know, it was, I think it's still the case that cannabis companies can't have bank accounts. The House okays a bill to facilitate banking for cannabis companies. Well, do they, I know the gun companies have a similar problem. But there is a bill coming out of Colorado, where else, called the Safe Banking Act, which would be a boon for marijuana companies. And that continues to be one of the worst sectors. It has been for a long, long time. One of the worst sectors to invest in. There's a new ETF coming out. I'll keep my eye on this. Amplify, I've had them on my show before. They had a big hit with iBuy, which was the online companies that sell things, the majority of their product, online. Obviously, Amazon, the biggest one there, but others, Wayfair, etc. Amplify's coming out with a digital and online trading ETF. I don't like it, but it's going to focus on stocks like Robinhood, Coinbase, Market Access. I do like Market Access, MKTX. SoFi Technologies, S-O-F-I. That, well, you know what? That will be an interesting one to watch. Do they have a symbol yet? Yes, it's going to be BIDS. B-I-D-S. So we'll keep our eye out for that. And when it comes out, we'll add it to the Best Stocks Now app. I added about 10 today, 10 new stocks, ETFs, etc., and give it a fair shot. See where it comes in. Macy's to hire 76,000 employees for the upcoming holiday season. I guess people still going to the mall. Now the question is, will they be able to find 76,000 employees? There's been a labor shortage, if you haven't noticed. And we've had several restaurants here in our neck of the woods. They're closed 4 days a week, 3 days a week, just open on the weekends because there's still a big labor shortage. I was just looking at Macy's stock. You know what? It's done okay, but it's ranked 2,808. That's all I need to know, 2,808 in the Best Stocks Now app. It has a lot of momentum going. But when you go beyond that recent performance and their outlook going forward, not very good. What's all the buzz at Chipotle? If I were going to own, and I have owned in the past, several times in the past, Chipotle is probably the number one restaurant stock because it has a cult-like following. The stock gets a cult-like multiple, much like Tesla and a few others. Well, a big thing in these parts, we'll see how Chipotle does. They're going to have smoked brisket on their menu for a limited time. If you're a member of Chipotle Rewards Program, you'll be able to order smoked brisket online starting Tuesday. That's this week, while everyone else can purchase it in the restaurant or online from U.S. and Canada locations starting on Thursday. This is the third new menu item that Chipotle has released this year. Cauliflower rice was available as a limited option in January. I got to be honest, I didn't run out to try the cauliflower rice, okay? And they also launched quesadilla back in March. Now, this is the big one. Now, this will get the meat eaters out there. You know, the vegetarians aren't too excited. But their test market in Cincinnati and Sacramento went well. Well, this might be one I'll try. We'll see. As that's a big item here in the South and in Texas. Adobe EPS beats by 9 cents, beats on revenues. That's one of the stocks that's down today. But not down much, down 3.6. This is one of the great stocks of all time. I talked to a guy who's doing a little work for me on my app. He worked for Adobe just for a few months, you know, about 15 years ago. He got some stock options, you know, not a lot, but a few stock options that he's kept. Those stock options today are worth like $250,000. And he continues to own Adobe, which has been one of the great stocks of all time, one of the big disruptors of all time. It's currently ranked number 57 overall, but down 3.2%. Okay, we'll have some featured stocks of the day when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna go. Do it with whoever you wanna go. You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, which is certainly a lot different than Monday, okay? Monday you had the Dow down 619. At one point, it was down almost 1,000 points on the Evergrande situation out of China. And that always tests your mettle, right? Your nerves, your emotions. You know, the immediate emotion is sell everything and run. Well, you know what? I mean, I've been doing it for 21 years. The experience does help quite a bit. I've seen many, many, many different problems come along that have upset the markets for a day or two, a week or two, a month or two, and even a year or two. And you always have to step back from each situation and set the emotion aside, which isn't easy to do. And say to yourself, well, what impact would this have on the bottom line earnings, for instance, of the S&P 500? Or what are the chances of this spreading and becoming a major contagion, taking many companies down with it? These are all considerations. And you also have to keep in mind and put it in perspective and say, well, the Dow's been going up since 2009. It's gone from 6,500 to 35,000. Is this the big event that's going to finally put an end to that ascent that's been going on for 12 years? And, you know, I mean, I answered on Monday. I said, I don't think this is the big one. For sure this isn't the big one. It could be the beginning of the end, but for now, it's just one of those events that comes along that you have to ride through, that you have to kind of you know, grip your armchair, white knuckle through. Otherwise, you would just be in and out of the market constantly, constantly. So all that has to come into play. One tweet I sent out yesterday, I was looking at the trucking stocks. They're on fire. Not the truckers, not on the over on the highway on fire. But I'm talking about Old Dominion and a few others, SAIA. Those stocks are really, really strong right now. Now, one would think if the economy in the U.S. is getting ready to tank and really slow down, why would the trucking stocks, which are kind of at the heart, railroads, trucking, you know, that kind of thing, kind of at the heart of it all, a pretty good measurement. And I would also say as it relates to the basic materials and everything, I think they probably sold off more than they deserve. The market always overreacts, it would seem. And I think you had another one on Monday. And it's just hard for me to look out into the future and see a big collapse of the U.S. economy with the trucking stocks being so strong. So anyways, that's just my two cents. There's a lot of different bellwethers out there that I check every single day, and that helps me to take the temperature of the market and the economy and expectations. Now, that's even more important than anything, our expectation. These stocks today, these trucking stocks today, are trading on expectations for a year or two down the road. Keep that in mind also. Well, a few stocks catching my eye here today that a couple of them I've mentioned before. There's a recent IPO. Maybe I mentioned this yesterday. I don't know. Matterport. MTTR. They provide a digital platform to design, build, promote, and manage homes, offices, hotels, factories, and shops. Well, I've added it to my database. It hasn't been around enough long enough to get a rating. It has a relative strength of 96, and I think it's an A-plus on my system. And it has a very, very good kind of a big saucer-shaped chart, which is very bullish. And anyways, I guess it's really kind of about digital advertising, you know, for various factories, shops, hotels. So they seem to be very well diversified. You know, maybe I did real well with a company called The Trade Desk. I don't know if this is another one like The Trade Desk, but I'm going to keep my eye on it. MTTR, Matterport. And another one catching my eye, which shows up as number 274 today, and it's a smaller company. It's only $290 million in market cap. It's a micro cap, but they're in a good industry, the semiconductor industry. They're out of Fremont, California, Aehr Test Systems, A-E-H-R. That thing all of a sudden has, you know, it was just kind of really off the radar for many years in the $2 or $3 range. I don't know if they've got new management, new products. Something new has taken place there. I have to do a little more research. But, man, this thing shot up about 3 or 4 months ago, and then it kind of consolidated, and now it's starting to really take off. Number 249 rank overall. This is, this would be one in an emerging growth, kind of a frontier type portfolio. It's definitely not a large cap blue chip or a dividend payer, but I do have my eye on it, AEHR. I had three others, but we're out of time, so we'll save them maybe for tomorrow. Those are just a couple catching my eye. I think they're coming both from my A-plus momentum list, which I check every day. Today I have about 47 on that list to go through. Well, we're back in action again. Greed has now taken over where fear dominated on Monday and Tuesday. Really on Monday. That's the way the cookie crumbles in the market. Got to take the emotion out of it. Maybe you can't do that. You know, I've had people that have hired me to manage their money. I'm just a fee-based money manager. Because they couldn't handle the emotion of it all, the stress of it all. I've had a lot of people like that, actually, over the years. You know, with my initial consultation with them, you know, their hands are shaking and an eye is twitching. If you just bring up the NASDAQ, if you just mention the word the NASDAQ, you know, beads of sweat start appearing on their forehead. So they say, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm going to have Gunderson and his team manage it. We do a lot of that, or other people are with, a firm that they don't have a lot of faith or confidence in. They've been sitting on the sidelines for years, or they're in all the worst places in the market. Yeah, you know, that happens. There's a lot of deadbeats in this industry. Anyways, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST. But best thing, get the newsletter for a couple weeks. Check it out, GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.